Hello.
And welcome aboard Marihuaneta Airlines Flight 420. I'm your stewardess, Mala Munoz. On today's flight, please secure all bongs, pipes, rolling trays, and dab rigs before takeoff. In case of an emergency, pack your own bowl before helping your neighbor. In-flight flour is complimentary, and lighters are available upon request. Sit back, relax, light up, and tune in to today's in-flight entertainment. Season 3 of Marihuaneta, a podcast for podheads. Thank you for flying with us and getting high with us.
Welcome to season 3. We did it. We made it. We're here. Thank you for making the trip. Thank you for taking the time. I'm so happy you made it here safely. This is about to be the time of our lives, and I am thrilled to be recording the morning of 420 for this 420 launch. I'm going to make this brief, because this is a big episode. I traveled to Orange County to record this episode with Joe Grande and Blue of Cannabis Talk 101, an iHeart podcast, the number one place for all things cannabis. We get into their careers in radio. Joe Grande was on Power 106, Big Boy in the Morning. I grew up listening to him and his wild antics. Blue has been working in music, radio, podcasting, cannabis for a long time. They're both killing it. They're like weed theos. You'll see. Keep listening. And I wanted to record this fresh audio morning of 420, day of 420, because there's a lot of stuff going on today in the city. First and foremost, this episode. First and foremost, the launch of season 3. And I hope that you've been following me on Instagram at @Mala_Munoz, because I've been putting out the cutest fucking podcast promo you've ever seen in your goddamn lives. And I want to shout out the team, because we've been putting out music, visuals, trailers, teasers. I mean, the list goes on, and we're not done. Head to the Instagram literally right now as you're listening to this podcast audio, so that you can check out what I'm talking about as I'm talking about it. Also, if my audio quality is shit on this first half, right? On this first half, get over it. You'll be okay. It's 420. I'm smoking inside. I got my windows open. I'm really not even trying to soundproof my situation, but we'll all survive. The Joe Grande Blue Cannabis Talk 101 audio is pristine, because we recorded in their profesh studio. So I hope you guys like our season 3 promo. Come fly with me. Get high with me. I hope you enjoyed our intro music. I'm sure you recognize the silky, sultry sounds of Crisol's voice. I did a little spoofy rewrite of Frank Sinatra's Come Fly With Me and sent it to Crisol. And Crisol and Brian Gazzo sang and played instruments and audio engineered, and out popped this gorgeous cover, this stony rendition that we have, and that has been sort of guiding the vibe and the production of our visual promo. And I want to shout out the team that worked on visuals, because as you guys could see, we put a lot of work into it. Again, go to my Instagram at @Mala_Munoz and check out my reels. I played a very cute cast of characters of Stony, a flight attendant, a Stony pilot, and a fancy lady on a Stony vacation for Marihuaneta Airlines Flight 420. And our promo, our season three promo, the visuals, sponsored by Chicali Products. Chicali Products you could see prominently featured in our promo videos and our visuals. And we recorded actually at Chicali Studios in the heart of the Callejones, the fashion district in downtown LA. So thank you to Chelly for providing us a home to film and to put our promo together. And Chelly, this is the second time we have filmed at her studio with Chicali Products. And Chelly has also been like a production assistant both times and has helped out a lot and lent us her furniture and her space and her time. And we love Chelly for that. So go follow her at Chicali Products. So I want to shout out our director, Ray. Raimundo Archila, at Raimundo Archila, our director, who took a bunch of Zoom meetings with me and worked with me on really going from concept, you know, to like final product, putting the script together, putting the shot list together, you know, all these things. It was great. Ray killed it. And I also want to shout out Ray's team, our director of photography, Alex Velasco at Alex Velasco Film, who is fucking killing it behind the camera, and our behind the scenes content capturer photographer, Ken Zhang at Ken W. Zhang, Zheng, who has provided us with a lot of glorious BTS behind the scenes photos. And I'm going to be sharing a lot of those, most of those, on our Marihuaneta Patreon. You can go to Patreon. It's Locatora Productions is the page, and there's a Marihuaneta tier. So there's a lot of BTS content. A lot of that's going on the Patreon. Check that out there. And then, of course, my makeup, my hair and makeup, thanks to the glorious, the fabulous, the wonderful, the talented Roberto Carlos. Robert. Our steadfast and glorious and talented and wonderful hair and makeup artist who has been working with Diosa and I on Locatora and now Marihuaneta shoots and events for years now. So go give Robert a follow and hire Robert for your hair and makeup needs. He's at @RobertoCarlos2_MUA. And I also want to shout out our cannabis manager, Jasmine Aguiar, @Ruthless_Aguiar, who hooked us up with all the beautiful nugs, all the beautiful flower that is so prominently featured throughout our Marihuaneta Season 3 promo. And I want to also shout out Mulas, which is the cannabis brand that supplied the nugs vis-a-vis Jasmine, @Mulas_brand. And of course, Marihuaneta is a Locatora Productions production, so follow Locatora Radio @Locatora_radio. I'm just giving you guys all the @s today, all the handles today, because, you know, this is a collaborative effort. Putting something like this together takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of people. So I want to shout out the community of artists who have been a part of this launch in putting our visuals together, in putting this episode together, and of course, putting together our events today. If you're in LA and you're looking for something to do, I have an itinerary just for you. We love it. So first, obviously, you're tuning into this episode. You're starting your day right. You're probably smoking, you're seshing, you're getting your 420 started the right way. And for that, I applaud you. The next step and the next event on our itinerary, we're heading downtown to Chicali Studios, where we filmed our Marihuaneta Season 3 promo, The Heart of Los Angeles. And we're going to sesh and we're going to have a good ass time. And that sesh, also sponsored by Chicali Products and Humo, Mexican owned, Salinas grown cannabis brand. Shout out Susie Green, Susie Plasencia, for hooking us up once again with Humo flower and a mota glass bong at their famous bong bar that's going to pop up at our Marihuaneta meetup sesh today at Chicali Studios. We're 4 to 10 p.m. DM me at @Mala_Munoz if you want arrival deets. Feel free to bring your own weed and post up and have a good time and meet other Marihuanetas, meet other listeners. From there, I am going to be heading out probably a little bit early, guys. I got to head out kind of early from the meetup, but you guys are welcome to keep seshing. I have to go to the Laugh Factory in Hollywood because I am going to do a guest spot. I'm going to do a little stand-up comedy at Paul Rodriguez Presents Spanglish, which is a new show every Thursday at the Laugh Factory Hollywood. I performed last week. It was a great time, great crowd. I had the best fucking time performing at the Laugh Factory on the Spanglish show. The crowd was really, really great. And they asked me to come back this week. So I'm there today for 420 and I'm going to be telling my stoner bits. So I have comp tickets. If you would like to come, the show starts at 7:45. DM me at @Mala_Munoz. And we're gonna sesh downtown at Chicali Studios at the Marihuaneta meetup. Then we're going to go giggle our asses off at the Laugh Factory Hollywood. And Sasha Mercy's on that lineup. Gadiel del Orbe is on that lineup. John Stites, who also produces. Marquez Acuña, who is hosting. And, of course, Frank Castillo of the Comedy Store. So it's a star. And Luz Pasos, star-studded lineup. Really fun show. And then come see Paul Rodriguez close out the night and headline. After that, we're going to the Virgil, which is on Virgil in Santa Monica. Crisol is going to DJ. That's our 420 after party. Come through. No cover. It's going to be a good ass time. And keep listening to this episode. I hope you enjoy my interview with Joe Grande and Blue of Cannabis Talk 101. And I hope you enjoyed all the promo and have a great 420. Thank you for lighting up and tuning in to the launch of Season 3 of Marihuaneta, a podcast for potheads. This has been me, Mala Munoz, your pilot, your stewardess, your creator, and your host.
She's a depressed 20-something with a college degree who copes with life by smoking too much weed. Dodging cochinos as she rolls down the street.
Oye, mami, I want to be your dog.
Aim higher, pendejo.
She's la marihuanera, as seen on IG.
That's me.
Mari, 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 marihuanera.
This
I'm recording right now.
I'm standing.
She's I want like, to keep bang, it loose. I'm going to keep it loose.
I like that show.
Thank
we're
you. Just,
we're here for you.
Yes.
I appreciate you guys. Welcome to another episode of Marihuaneta, a podcast for potheads. This is your creator and host, Mala Munoz, recording a very special episode today. Usually I'm recording from my studio apartment located above my grandma Nacha's garage.
Hello. Hi, Nacha.
That's my usual recording space. My dog Papas is running around somewhere.
Oh, so Papa. Grandma Nacho, so not your grandma, but... Your grandma.
My grandma.
Okay, yeah.
I like how we're interrupting her show like it's our show just because she's in our studio. We're just taking over.
I get it. We're in your house. I'll allow it for that reason alone.
I'm apologizing because I feel like this is your intro to your show, and I'm like, oh my God,
it's all good. It's all good. We just let it flow around here.
Flowing is good.
Hey, that's
great to be on your show.
I feel like we're in a whole nother podcast right
now. So do I.
Are
we doing
an
intro or we're doing a...
This is her show, dog. You're recording, right?
I hope. Recording this show.
I'm definitely recording.
Okay, then there we go. This is her show.
So my listeners are probably tuning in thinking, why are there so many men speaking?
Hello.
This is Mala's podcast. This is Mari Juanetta. Why are there all these older gentlemen, you know, chiming in?
Older.
Let me explain.
Who's older?
Let me explain to my listeners. They can hear it. They can hear the wisdom in the years.
The maturity in the voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To my listeners, I am on the set of Cannabis Talk 101, an iHeart show. We're here in Stanton, California. Yeah.
Where's Stanton at? Jeez.
That's the
heart of Orange County, man.
It really is. Right next to Knott's Berry Farm.
Well, it's also
folks.
The armpit. So the armpit's really close to the heart. You know what I'm saying? So you know
what AKA it is. The Sabacos.
You know how to get it if you know where it's at.
But you know what? For our lunch break, we just had some really bomb birria tacos.
Oh, right next to us.
Yeah, we got the shrimp cocktail.
So good.
Yeah.
Thanks delish. For bringing some. Appreciate it.
Fire. I told you the place
we
is fire.
Had the munchies. We've been smoking all day.
That's what happens here.
Yeah. And I love like a crisp shrimp cocktail. Like I love some seafood after a sash, you know.
Yeah. That's my favorite. My favorite's like shrimp cocktail, by the way.
Oh,
and you know what? If you guys ate at the La Parra right here.
La Parria.
La Parria. So La Parria. Let me tell you guys, dude. Like
he's Puerto Rican. Excuse him.
Yeah, we say it a little differently. You know what I mean, not that much different.
Hey, it's her show, not yours.
Don't blame the island of Puerto Rico.
I just want to say, that their food's really fire there. But like, you got to try the garlic shrimp boat, and then the garlic shrimp boat, and there's some garlic shrimp. Like, I mean, there's just some fire stuff there. We're going to go there more often, girls.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. That sounds amazing. So back to me. I'm here at the Cannabis Talk 101 set with two podcasting and radio legends, TBH, honestly. Joe Grande and Blue, who host the Cannabis Talk 101 show at iHeart. And I was on your show earlier today. You guys interviewed me. I had my moment on your show. So now we're doing a switcheroo, and I'm interviewing you guys on my show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we're very honored. Thank you.
And honestly, I really want to go to Grandma's garage.
I would love to.
I think we'll get that, you know, like a deeper vibe, you know. We maybe get Joe high.
Maybe.
I mean, it's been 24 years, but we might get them.
If the garage is on the second level, that's as high as we're getting.
Thank you, Goldie.
All right. That's as high as we're
second
letting
floor,
Joe get.
Second floor high.
Let's
that's
go.
It. That's
yeah.
It.
No, I appreciate you guys having me on. You guys are clearly doing really cool things, been doing really cool things. I am from LA, and so growing up in traffic, like we listen to the radio all the time. So, Joe, we were just talking about how you were on Power 106. Back with Big Boy in the Morning
when you were growing up,
back
right?
when it was 105.9.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
when you were growing up, right?
Literally, when I was growing up, we would listen in the morning on the way to elementary school.
Thank you. That's me. Yes, thank you. Thank you for aging me. Yes,
and Blue, you've been all over radio and music, all over California, right? And Orange County, SoCal.
I'm from LA originally, but yes, I have. I've shut down the freeway probably when you were in
junior, elementary school as well.
At junior high. Yeah.
Maybe junior high, you're right.
I've toured with some groups and I've actually...
been on stage, held many mics.
I held many mics, yeah. Held down many, thrown some many events and been in this industry my whole life.
Absolutely. So, and now you've been podcasting.
Yes, yes. We've been podcasting for...
About 756 shows.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
756 shows.
Around there. I don't know. Maybe
well,
more.
We've done more shows. The Cannabis Talk 101's done more shows than that, but podcasts?
For podcasting, she
we're,
said,
we're
yeah.
We're probably about 800, probably, because we probably missed the first 20.
Well, with iHeart, 758, whatever. Okay. Something like that. With them.
Approaching 1,000.
Very close, too.
Yeah,
beautiful.
That's the way you say it.
We're going to have a party when we hit 1,000, actually.
Well, that's going to be in like 2 weeks.
I know.
Start planning.
Shit.
That's why I said
we really should.
It's the 29th. Yeah. It's Mad Flavor Fest.
So I'm super curious because I grew up listening to radio, but my work in audio has been podcasting. Like in 2016, I started with the podcast. When I was in college, I studied abroad in London for a year and I had a campus radio show. The radio station was called Rare FM and that was super fun, like student radio. But I've never like worked in radio. So I'm curious about the feelings you've had about the transitions or the differences between radio and podcasting, because they are so different. Like, what are the differences for you guys?
Well, you know, live radio, there's nothing like it, right? So I come from As Big As It Gets. And I don't say that braggadociously. I say that just factually because it's, I worked with Big Boy and Ryan Seacrest and then Fox Sports, NBC Sports, and it's live radio. And, you know, when I say that, it's like when I always tell people too, what's the difference? It's like, well, when somebody points at you and says go and there's no takeovers, there's no redos, like you're live and that's when you're going on. And that's what we did for years, right?
In fact, Joe, it's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm live. You know, it's just my point is when you're doing it, you know, if it was
Joe, go.
Last night in the NBA, the Lakers beat the Supersonics 23-104. You know what I mean? Like that. You just have to go and you can't stop. You can't mess up. And like with podcasts, you could edit, you can change, you can do whatever you want, which is a blessing. And, you know, it's a blessing. It's just different medias, right? And it's just like, so I grew up in that era where, I mean, I started when it was reel to reel. Like, you know, I was doing cutting with the wax thing and the razor.
Yeah.
And, you know, early on, said we're now everything's digital, which is cool, which is in effect different and easier, right? Because now you don't need to do and learn all that stuff. And I have a degree, actually, in radio, television, and film from San Jose State. So I started off as an intern and worked my way up and in. So when you say what's the difference, I mean, I really feel like there's a lot of differences, and the biggest to me is the live aspect, right? And that's why I hear what I do love about what Blue and I are doing. We have the cameras on us and we record our podcast with a live field. The only difference we'll do is maybe restart something, but we're not doing edits in our show. We're not doing that. If somebody does say something they don't want in there, we've taken it out or something. But amongst us, we have the live mentality because he's performed live so much as well, and so have I, that it's that live aspect that's the real energy that comes from it. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, when people say, when you ask a question like that, what's the difference? The live energy that is nothing that is different from it.
Yeah. It's one take.
And that's it. Whether it's good or bad, you're like, oh, I could have done that better. Where it's like, of course, you could always do it better or different. But it's like, no, that's who I did. That's my first take. That's good.
And something for me, just to echo what he's saying, because I agree 1,000% what he's saying. But one thing that I take, you know, is like, you know, for iHeart, they give us reads, right? Like part of our agreement with iHeart is they give us reads, meaning that, you know, live radio, they'll drop commercials for us talking about our podcast, right? So we'll hear our podcast maybe in LA radio, maybe in Texas, maybe in this place. And so the digital world has taken a massive storm of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, you know, remind people that, you know, the biggest, you know, you know, faces in all are just as big in radio as they are in podcasts, but they're just different airwaves, right? Mm. So there's people that are listening to radio and there's people that are listening to podcasts. Like if you go to Big Boys, I looked at it last night, it's got like 580,000 followers and Joe Rogan's got 6.6 million.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean Joe Rogan's a bigger face than Big Boy? I don't know. In my opinion, I think they're pretty equally recognizable in the world of you know, radio. In fact, I think Big Boy's probably recognized more in radio and than in podcasts, but in podcasts, Joe's bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think there's differences, and I think that also
and
now,
every radio show gets downloaded now into a podcast anyway.
And I'm gonna say, every live show is also being produced as a live.
This brings me to my next question, because podcasts technically is an audio medium, but a lot of podcasts are on video.
Yeah.
Right. And so you can instead of I listen to this podcast, some people will say, oh, I watch that podcast.
Right.
So, I mean, it all sort of starts to kind of blend together in this kind of way. I mean, I don't know. Like, what do you guys think of the video and the social media and pushing the shows on like Instagram, TikTok and all of that?
I think it's the greatest evolution ever.
I think TikTok and Instagram, I'm not as big on, is creating your own platform. So I created Video Podcast, which is videopodcast.com. And so I think building your own platforms is better than focusing your energy on TikTok. And let me tell you why. You guys remember MySpace. You remember Facebook, and Facebook is dying now. And it's not that it's dying, but they're trying to rebrand it as Meta. Instagram was popping, and then it was Snapchat. Snapchat was huge, and now it's becoming this. So they're generationally taking people and running them through that platform, and almost so you could track them on each individual platform, right? The problem with that is that there's no crossover. Where it is a crossover is when you control and run your own platform. You have your own listeners. We have our own listeners. You have your people that are here listening to your show today. They're your listeners. Mm-hmm. Respect to that. That's what I respect. That's what I like doing. And that's what made Cannabis Talk 101 successful for us, is that the fact that we have our, like, all those platforms could die tomorrow. As long as we can put it on a podcast somewhere and they can listen to it somewhere.
Oh, we still have a website, CannabisTalk101.com.
We go to our website. We have our own listeners, you know, that we are rocking with us. So that's the difference between, like, Instagram shuts down tomorrow or it just becomes not so popular. There's a lot of talk about them taking down TikTok, you know, right now because of the Chinese government aren't giving up information. So all that's real. You know, do you guys remember when Instagram shut down?
Yeah, Instagram's constantly shutting down. This is also what I do.
And getting blocked. We're always, you know, blocked and this and that.
Yeah, it's very hostile ground for cannabis-related content. Oh, yeah. Which is why I feel like cannabis and podcasting is such a perfect marriage, because we're just talking about it and the RSS feed is always okay. Like, I've never had an issue with my RSS feed while the Instagram is stalling and not functioning, right? So I guess I also want to now, I always ask my guests, when did your relationship with cannabis begin? So I'm curious for each of you, when did you start to engage with the plant?
I started at the age of 6 years old. I was six. I was the youngest of my family and my brother was 16. And he goes, "Hey, Joe, hit this," at a party at our house. And they were listening to the Double Dutch Bus. And I will never forget it in my life because I was toot toot singing and dancing. And it was a fun party. And that's when I first started smoking. And then I was also in our rubbing alcohol at home. So my mom had it always in the alcohol, which if you think about it now, it's like a CBD type substance, right? Mm-hmm. And not knowing that that's what it was, I thought it was just an old Mexican myth. Like, you know, mijo, get the rubbing alcohol and then get some more weed cannabis from Vince, our cousin Vince, who would bring us more weed to put in the alcohol. So like when we'd run out, we'd always get some more weed from Vince. And I was 6 years old though when I first got introduced to it.
So like you like took a hit off a joint at
Oh,
six?
It was actually in this grenade thing that you used. It was a power hit at that. So you squeezed it and it
at 6 years old?
6 years old.
Did you cough?
Oh my God. I remember being so like ridiculous. And then I remember dancing and everybody was tipping me money and stuff.
Stop.
No, I'm serious. It was crazy. I mean, I literally remember it. And because I've told the story so many times that, you know, and then, you know, to think I went from 6 to 26 smoking and using every other drug you could imagine from then.
So that was your gateway?
I mean, if you call it that, yeah, but I'm not the guy that preaches it's a gateway. Uh-huh, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. I'm not that preacher. I am sober, though. I have complete abstinence and I'm fully programmed, dude. But like, I'm not the preacher about it. I do believe in the plant as a medicine.
Yeah.
And I do see it as something beneficial for anyone who uses it moderately and uses it to benefit themselves. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not the guy who used it as what you said, a, you know, gateway stepping stone for me. Some people can. At one point, I did say that. But I don't look at it that way. I never really looked at it that way. You know what I mean? Because I got into the other drugs because I got into the other drugs.
And like all the studies and stuff show us that it's actually like a gateway to
come down.
To come down.
And I've used cannabis and I still use cannabis. I mean, I use CBD oils. I use rubs. I use creams. I use ointments for my medical elements that I have. So I'm still using the plant. I just don't smoke a joint or a blunt or anything like that. I'm not using that grenade hitter.
Not anymore.
No. And my brother went to prison for selling that and a bunch of other things too I was 10. So, you know, it was just part of the family.
Whoo, that's a great story. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. So for me, you know, cannabis has never been illegal in my home. You know, my dad was in the smuggling and selling cannabis my whole life. So it's always been in my house. He's always grown weed at my house. It's always been in my backyard. It's always been in my garage. It's always been everywhere in the ashtray and the, you know, everywhere. But when I really recognized what it was, I think I was probably like 11, 12. I started recognizing it, what it was. And then I probably started smoking it like, I think 12 or 13. And then I didn't really get high though, but I knew what was going on, but I hit it and I was like, you know, watching everybody hit it. I'm like, why are they, you know, acting all low and shit? So I vibe with it. I think that I hit it and I was so hyped up that I was just like, you know, my adrenaline was running so hard I didn't get high. And then I think when I really got high though, like, you know, is later on and more of my and it's definitely the first drug I ever tried, but definitely isn't my gateway. But I'll tell you, you know, I think it's actually helps people. It helps to get people out of their addictions. Like right now I'm struggling with addiction. You know, with the fact that you know, alcohol, I smoke cigarettes amongst other stuff, and I you know, when I could smoke right now a little bit of weed and help me, mm-hmm. you know, not want to do anything else, you know, and you know, it's as simple as it sounds for me. It's very difficult for a lot of people. I know that I have the ability to stop. That's why I could play so hard, I think. Like, because I, you know, I've taken my body and my mind and my soul to a lot of places that a lot of people can't come out of. And I've left some people behind, you know, unfortunately. And, you know, and through that process, you know, I'm fortunate to be in this kind of environment and not be able to lose it, where I've had them die. My friends die of overdoses. My friends, you know, still are, you know, messed up on drugs. And I like I said, I've taken it with them and been like, you can't pull out, doc. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, what's wrong with you? You're weak, you know? And I'm like, come back. And then I've even tried to save them through that process. And unfortunately you can't. And I've done that with many of my loved ones, and I don't know why I have that ability, but that's kind of why I think I allow myself to, but mm-hmm. you know, so I think cannabis actually helps that. But to answer that question, short and sweet, is young, and it's never been illegal in my home. My whole family sells weed. You know.
This is interesting too, because I think a lot of my listeners, as like Latinas who are probably like mostly millennial, Gen Z, like, there's plenty who it's so super taboo, but it wasn't taboo in everybody's house. So I really like hearing those stories, because that's so different from like my experience with it in the house.
Yeah.
I interviewed this one woman who is like a water systems engineer up north, and her family, like, they smoked weed at home growing up. Yeah. And so now she works in like water engineering stuff with cannabis, you know, and grows and things. So I'm interested, that being said, and like your background's with cannabis, how did you decide to like combine it with your work, with the entertainment work?
Well, it was, for me, I got introduced to it through Blue. Blue's the creator and founder of Cannabis Talk 101, the CEO, the man, the myth, the legend behind it all, right? So he really put this together, this platform. I come into his office one day trying to help him with another company that he has. And
cannabis related too.
Cannabis related. And I was helping him basically put money somewhere because he needed to process. He was processing too much money, right? So imagine making so much money that you can't process it. And that was his problem. That's literally how I met him. And it's a sad story, but it's a true story.
It happens.
And
it
I'm the guy that had these relationships at that time in my life. I was doing processing, and I had relationships to get his money into the bank and this and that. And
it was all legit too.
It was called the Cannabis Talk Network, and
yeah,
you know,
it's an education platform for cannabis. So, and I was,
it wasn't like we were doing something illegal, neither was I, but I just had
the
ability to help him out. And so that's when I met him, and he was already doing the show on radio on
101.5 FM KLCI.
There you go. You had to get in the whole commercial mode, right? Exactly. Yeah. So he was, and then he was doing the show already with the Pop Brothers at Law.
Yeah.
Right. So it was them three hosting a show. They were doing great on this radio station out here. And I went into the office to talk to him about what I needed to do with him. And then he knew me from Power 106. He goes, Joe Grande from Power. And he had a joke about growing up listening to me. And we hit it off.
I was a kid.
And I was like, shut up.
Just like you.
Just like you.
That's why I said we aren't all that old.
He then asked me to come on the show to interview me on the credit card processing that I was doing. Right? So then I go in there and I do the interview with him. And it was funny that I literally was like, dude, I think what you're doing is amazing with this cannabis talk show. And, you know, my radio background, I think I can help tweak the little things and we can build an amazing platform together that you already have. It wasn't like I created the platform. I just added some bracelets and necklaces and earrings to what he was already doing, right? To make it a little prettier and sound a little different.
Yeah, we had a buzz, you know what I'm saying? We already had a buzz in the game. But, you know, for us, it wasn't like, I tell people this all the time, like, I didn't build Cannabis Talk 101 to monetize it. I built it to use it as almost an informational platform, right? Like, I was making so much money selling weed, and I had licensed grows. I had dispensaries before all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, in LA, I had one of the first 30 licenses to ever be there, you know, and I ended up selling that license to Firehouse, you know, and there's, I could, I, bought it back from somebody else and turned around and sold it back to somebody else. And I mean, you know, there was so many different shenanigans happening in the game because everybody, I got all the money in the world. And here I am from the streets. Like, look, I got a license. You know what I mean? I need help. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, well, I'll give you $100,000. And knowing damn well there were $10 million, you know, and I'm dealing with all these, you know, everybody trying to, you know, flim flam me and we're trying to flim flam them back. And a lot of people go, oh, these guys hustled us. Not me. I'm talking about like other groups. And I look at those investors in the early stages and I'm like, nah, you guys were trying to screw them. They caught you trying to screw them. They turned around, flipped it on you, bro. Like, you know,
it happens.
You guys messed up, you know, and then, but I, again, I think there's this growth period of, understanding, like I've been selling weed since, you know, I can't even remember, you know, since I knew how to sell candy.
His daddy taught him and he took it to the next level.
Yeah. Mm. And I did really well at it. You know, I always told everybody in whether it was the kids I grew up with, my friends, and I tell my kids this, and I mean it, whatever I want to do, I'm going to be the best at it if I want to. You know, there's nothing you can't stop me from being. I'll be vulgar and say, if I'm going to be a killer, I'm going to be the best killer in the box. If I'm going to sell dope, I'm going to be the best dope man. If I'm going to sell weed, whatever it is, you know, if I'm going to be the best father, I'll be the best father. If you want me to play baseball and you want me to, and I commit to it, you know, I'm that good. And I think everybody is. I think that they just have to allow their imagination to expand and allow themselves to have the patience and self-discipline to do so.
Absolutely. I think a lot of my listeners are just starting with whatever it is they're working on. And a lot of them are interested in getting into the cannabis space somehow and doing their own thing. So what advice would you have for those listening, especially like the Latinx listeners,
yeah,
you know, who... wherever they are in the country,
call me up 1-800-4.
No, really though, that's good advice. You could call us up.
I would say is just to keep it simple for you and your people. You know, structure is everything, right? You know, but first you got to, you know, live by the bear of life, which is believe, energy, action, results. When you believe in something, there's energy. With energy, there's action. With action, there's results. That's the bear of life. The fortunes and the follow up. You know what I mean? If you don't follow up on everything you're doing, you ain't got nothing, right? So the fortunes and the follow up. Care and communicate with whoever you're dealing with, right? That those are the fundamental standards. But then amongst that, you have to start incorporating. Open a bank account. Get your LLC or your corporation. Open your bank account. Understand what the merchant account is, what a merchant's processor is. Understand what you're selling and the full circle. So if you're putting money out, understand how you're getting your money back. You know, a lot of people put money out, but they don't have a plan on how to get it back. Well, you're not going to get it back then. You know, if you don't physically see where all that money's coming back, you'll never get it back. You know, if I tell you, hey, let's invest in something, I'm going to show you where you're going to get your money into it. And I'm going to show you how you're going to get out of it. And I'm going to tell you when you're going to get it out. You know, and I think the biggest problem is people look at investments and they're like, yo, I want to invest. Cool. Let's invest. How do I get my money out? They're like, they can't tell them. And a lot of unsophisticated people will just give money up and not understand how they're getting their money back. More sophisticated employees or investors will not. They will go, hey, and I tell this to people all the time. People are like, yo, I need to get an investment. I'm like, cool, what do you got? And I sit with them. I watch them do the whole thing, and they don't even tell me how I'm going to get my money back. Mm-hmm. You think I'm going to put my money into that? There's no way. Mm-hmm. There's no way. You know, and it's like sometimes I won't even tell them that. I'll just be like, oh, cool. You know what I mean? Nice meeting you. And I'll be like, we'll get back to you. But the answer is really no, right? But if I sit with someone that understands it, they're sitting there going, look, Chris, I can get your money in and out in 6 months. You put the money here, I'm going to put it through this process. This process creates this process. And they show me the whole circle of life. And this, and then it makes sense too. And they have history on doing it. Yeah, I'll fund on that. Mm-hmm. I'll back that. Mm-hmm. Right? But mm-hmm. But most people, again, they don't see that. And they're just too fast food. All they can think about is how they're going to get their tongue wet. Versus how they, and they have no intentions on paying people back. And that, and so, you know, that's
I have advice for some listeners that are new and wanting to get into the game. And it is just try and get in. And like when Blue was saying, our phone number 1-800-420-1980, that's literally our phone number because we do a lot of internships at our location. And I started off as an intern in radio before I ever made a dime in it. And then I've made hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars and a lot of money. And I look at it and say to some people, start off as an intern. Start cleaning up the floors, making coffee, do whatever you can. In the same thing in the cannabis game. What can I do? Learn, educate. Show up and just soak it in and be helpful. Why? Because then when you're helpful, and a quiet and empty mouth doesn't get fed. So if you have an idea, there's no bad ideas. Hey, I thought about this. They may say, oh, that's dumb. Okay, cool. Don't let that suppress you and put your negativity down. I'm not going to say anything else again because you just made fun of me for... No. You have to keep coming up with ideas. You have to keep throwing things on the wall. You have to show up to somebody. If it's not you trying something yourself, then join somebody else that is. If you got a friend that goes, I have an idea, cool, let's try and do this together. And what can you do to add to that idea? Mm-hmm. So my goal, and when I listen and talk to people, because I'm all constantly talking to young students all the time and talking to people. We have interns here. There's one I'm looking at, Diego, right now from Chicago. And, you know, it's one of those... What can you do to get in? Just get in and then open your mouth and open your ears and realize that you have two ears and one mouth. So do a little more listening than talking sometimes, but don't be afraid to talk. I'm not saying that in a shut up way. I'm saying that in a listen more than you talk,
right?
Because you may not know, but if you're both doing it together, well, then you still need to talk, and I'm not, and your idea could be the best idea. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? Just get in and try, because if you never try, you'll never know. You know, I heard this a long time ago, and I've always thought of the guys that hit the most home runs back in the days have the most strikeouts, too. Why? Because they swing the bats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to swing for the fence, you guys.
Very true, man. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you look at these guys who do that, it's because they try hard. And that's guys and women
in
general.
I fail more than most people.
You know,
and I do it, you know, and I do it shamelessly too. Like, I used to be like, oh my God, I don't want them to see me. I don't want to see them fail. And I'm like, no, it's okay.
Mm-hmm,
like, I don't give a shit. You know why? Because then they turn around and I'm right back on their bumper, like, boom, running.
It's not how many times you fall. It's how many times you get up. So people that want to try, just try, folks.
Trying.
I love this too. I want to know what's like an idea that you guys had that you pitched that maybe was like you really weren't sure about it. It was a crazy idea. It was a dumb idea. It was a weird idea. But then they loved it.
Cannabis Talk 101.
Well, I'll go is even more recent. Here's a good one that, you know, it has a lot of pros and cons to it. It was this Burning Trees Festival that we had an idea about, right?
Yeah.
And then we ended up making it happen. And it was a huge event, first of its kind, out in Adelanto, where we had cannabis, we had a section with alcohol, and, you know, we called artists people. Like, you know, Ludacris, Busta Rhymes, Exhibit, Too Short, Soulja Boy, and we helped put all this together, and it was, you know, led by a few people, you know, there was a team. But it was an idea of, can this happen? And then a lot of people didn't see the craziness that happened behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of madness and craziness, but it happened. And there was 10 to 12,000 people there that looked and loved it.
I'll tell you, up until the point that I the whole time was like, I already seen the crowd, right? Cause, and I actually told everybody we were throwing this event a year prior, and everybody thought I was crazy. You know, and I was like, oh, we're going to throw a big festival. We're going to have all the artists come out. We're going to, you know, we're going to pack this place down. And everybody's like, oh, okay, like kind of whatever, you know. And then all of a sudden it was happening. And then it was like, you know, I mean, our own staff was like, this is going to be the Fyre Fest. And I was like, say that shit again, you're fired.
Ooh.
Say that shit again, you're fired. You know, the first time I let it go, the second time someone said it, I said, say that shit
again. It felt like that sometimes, but that's the, and because, to your point, because, it feels like that amongst everyone.
Everybody's freaking out. I mean, everybody's freaking out. I mean, we've got.
Assuming the worst,
yeah. Right? And the first time I let it slide, and I was like, man, don't say that. And then it's like, second time I was like, you say that again, you're fired. Like, literally. And then I seen, you know, other people like the, a week before being like, the ticket sales aren't up, you know, this is gonna ruin the whole
and
company.
I had the Field of Dreams mentality the whole time. I'm going, you guys, we're building it, it's gonna come. Blue and I were sitting there like, the dog, I know it's gonna happen. Why? Because this is what we've like, done. Like,
and
our whole,
speaking of it, look right there, look
like that's the crowd, that's right the there crowd. That we're
that's
looking
crazy.
At
yeah, you know.
and it goes back to our childhoods. Yeah, right, like I grew up throwing events at my house from high school. I'm talking about selling red cups for $5 to get in the backyard, having DJs that are really still worldwide recognized, like Jazzy Jim, DJ Amazon, that have won contests around the world, that were, when I was younger, these guys were the homies in the neighborhoods that I was doing events. So it's not like, oh, we just did it. And Blue, same way, doing events, doing things.
I did,
we come from this background of, We just didn't start promoting things, you know, when we started meeting each other. We both, I come from the Bay Area with a huge following. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I was just some dude that came to LA.
I think you wake up though one day and you realize everything that you're doing is for a reason. Like, you know, and if it doesn't, then you're not doing what you love. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I do what I love every day, so I don't work. You know, like people are like, don't you hate going to work and this and that? And I hate, and I'm like, you just hate what you're doing. Like, and trust me, like today I could turn around, stop and go work for any company in the cannabis industry right now. I feel very confident. They'll be like, oh, this dude's got massive contacts. Like, yo, this is Blue from Cannabis Talk 101. Like, you answer my call? Like, yep. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to go work for nobody else. Like, I don't want to go sit behind a desk. I'm not a desk guy. I'm a network guy. I love talking to people. I love meeting people. I love watching people, you know,
entertain people.
Yeah, that's I'm an entertainer. Do. Yeah. And I think that, you know, you get to a point where you wake up one day and you're like,
So find out who you are if you're listening. Yeah. You're a young man, young lady. And you know what? And just pray on it, search on it, and then
keep working
at it.
And fail a lot.
And guess what? And if you have to have a regular job at whatever you're doing that pays the bills, God bless. Keep trying to do what you want to do.
And then when you're doing good, be humble. You know what I'm saying? Help put a hand out, you know what I mean? Help people out, but don't do it so where you'll drown yourself. Because sometimes, you know, you help so much that you end up dying. Yourself.
And there's nothing better than helping somebody out. Because we've had people come in here that we lift up and they leave. And they're working for other companies
Big companies.
And we don't
Angels,
hurt them.
iHeartRadio, like, the Angels. I mean, we've got people, jobs all over the state.
Other cannabis companies that start here.
Kids came from China, you know, to intern with us. People from Brazil fly in to intern with us. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah,
you know,
and so that to me is the best part about it. So, like I said, when I gave out our phone number, that's like the truth. Like, we literally here at this house like to use this home as a teaching home, and we have fun, and we like to teach people, and we like to learn from them too.
I love it. I mean, listeners, if you didn't have a weed Theo, now you have two. These guys. These are the weed Theos.
It's Cannabis Talk 101. You got to learn today.
The world's number one source for everything cannabis.
Oh, my God. Tune in to Cannabis Talk 101. You guys are on social media. Follow Cannabis Talk 101. And where can my listeners follow you guys? Blue, Joe Grande.
Joe Grande 52 at...
Yes, it's Joe Grande 52. That is mine, and Blue is one Christopher Wright.
Love it. Thank you.
Number one, guys.
And numero uno.
And remember this, if no one else loves you,
we do. That's facts.
And that's been another episode of Marihuaneta, a podcast for podheads. Thank you for lighting up and tuning in.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. That was very fun.
Did you record that on your phone?